Hello, and welcome to the CredoCast. I'm John Doherty, the founder and CEO of digital marketing marketplace Credo, where I connect you with the best digital marketing agencies and consultants available online. I started Credo at the beginning of 2013 because I saw a need. Large companies with big budgets have an easy time finding a great agency, but I saw that small businesses had an incredibly hard time. There are many misleading messages about what it takes to grow your business online these days, and small businesses have been hurt by bad agencies before. I've even seen it happen to my own friends. This podcast series digs into the beginning stories of Credo pros and other select entrepreneurs in the digital marketing space. Whether you're just starting a business or you've been in business for years, these stories are meant to encourage, energize, and inspire you to take the next step in your career, whatever that is. So sit back, listen, and enjoy the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome back once again to the CredoCast. Today, I am super excited to have with me Akvil Harlow, who is the founder, CEO, CMO, COO, all the things of Akvertise, akvertise.com, which is her new brand name. Akvil and I have been connected through the industry for, gosh, a number of years now, right? Five or six years. And I'm super excited to have her here on the show and allow all of y'all to get to know her a little bit better and a bit more about her entrepreneurial journey. So, Akvil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So why don't you give us a little bit, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, where you do it from, all those good things.
All right. So my name is Akvila. I've been doing online marketing for nearly a decade. I've been working in-house for a lot of companies. And this week will be my two-year anniversary of working for myself. And I just rebranded. And as you said, my new brand and new website is akvertise.com. I am a PPC specialist and a social media marketing specialist. I consult for a number of brands and manage accounts. And that's the gist of it.
Fantastic. So congratulations on 2 years. That's a big, big milestone.
Thank you.
How's it been so far?
It's been an amazing journey full of challenges. I'm sure that you can relate and any other entrepreneur can as well. There's no manual to it. So learn something new every week. And it's been probably the most rewarding thing that I've done in my life. So excited for what the next year brings.
That's fantastic. I love to hear that. I love it when people are honest about that entrepreneurship is hard.
Oh yeah.
it's phenomenal. It's super life giving. But it's quite the challenge as well. So that's great to hear. And I hope to dig into that a bit here. So tell me, when did you know a couple years ago, maybe longer ago, that you knew it was time to go and do your own thing, or you really started thinking about it? And did you have any earlier entrepreneurial, undertakings as you were younger, selling lemonade or anything like that?
It's funny you ask. So my mother and I emigrated from Lithuania during the Cold War to Toronto, and that's where I grew up. And we didn't have a lot of money when we moved over there. And I always tried to pitch in. So while we didn't have lemonade, I used to draw a lot, and I'd go find rocks outside and I would color with them on crayons, and I would actually sell them. And some of the people in the neighborhood would buy them. So I think it started pretty early on that I enjoyed selling things to people and trying to get people excited about what I was excited about. And so there was that. And then growing up, there was a time like after college that like Craigslist popped up and I would find things in the free section and then clean them up and then sling them back on Craigslist for a profit within an hour or two of finding these things. So I think I've kind of had it in me all along. But in terms of the marketing stuff, I enjoyed working over the, probably the decade that I've been starting at a snowboard company to a pet insurance company to working at a marketing conference. And I've always enjoyed working for companies, but I always kind of wondered, could I do this on my own? And seeing what marketing campaigns were bringing into these companies and seeing what my cut of it was, I started thinking and talking to other people that did freelancing. And over the years, particularly the last five, I would talk about it here and there, but I didn't have the courage to actually do it, and I didn't know how to get started. So Zane, my fiance, he was always trying to push me to do it and saying that I could do it, and if not, if it didn't work out, there was no shame in going back to working for another company. And another one of our mutual friends, Blake Denman, he was always a huge supporter, and he always tried to motivate me to do my own thing, but I was like, no, I'm just making up excuses as I went. So I think I kind of always had it in me, and then at one point I started realizing that I was no longer happy with my work and there wasn't anywhere for me to grow further. So that's when I kind of just pulled the plug on it. And my one really good friend, Pamela Lund, she's been a tremendous mentor. And I hit her up one day after I was like, all right, I'm ready to take it to this next level and see if I can do this. And I was like, can I just shadow you for a day? You've been doing this for such a long time. And then I guess luckily it worked out in timing for her too, that she had taken on too much work and she wanted to offload some of it. So I owe a lot of it to her that she's kind of brought me on board, taught me a lot of what I needed to know to get started to work on for myself. So that's kind of been the journey, I guess, long story short.
That's awesome. So great friends and also starting young. I love that story about finding free things on Craigslist and fixing them up and then putting them right back on and selling for profit. That's the hustle right there. That's awesome. So it sounds like you were working for, as you said, a marketing conference before, which, fantastic conference. And, you know, I know a lot of the people that are there, phenomenal people.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, some of the best, in the industry for sure. And then, so when you went out, it sounds like you hadn't really, you hadn't gone ahead and you weren't freelancing on the side or something like that. And basically said, I talked to a friend recently who said that he told himself that once he signed his third client on the side, he would quit his job. And the day he did, he quit his job. But it sounds like you did a little bit different where you're like, all right, I'm just gonna jump into it and go for it. And then Pamela helped you get on your feet. What was that like? What were the emotions there? Because, you know, you can say you knew that you could do it. You had the confidence that you could do it and you could always go back, as, you know, as Zane said, and go work for somebody else. But I bet that was kind of terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. I remember the first month perfectly. I remember the first week it was exciting. I was like, all right, I'm on my own. I can do this. This is great. But I was so used to reporting to somebody and checking in and having somebody above me that week two, I remember feeling a little lost that I didn't have anybody anymore and it was just me. And while that freedom was great, I kind of didn't know what to do with that since it was uncharted territory for me at that point. And then week three hit and I was like, oh man, what did I do? What am I doing? Like, I have no idea what to do next. What did I do? Why did I quit? So a little panic set in. And then I wondered when the groove would kind of kick in of, all right, this is me and this is my business and I'm going to keep growing it. So honestly, it took about 6 months to kind of get into the groove of things, but it was a roller coaster for the first few months of just self-doubt and confidence. But then I think that as I started working with more clients and having more conversations and learning about the business aspect of running your own business and all the financial stuff, that I think little by little, the experience kind of piled on. And I feel like going 2 years into it now that I feel a lot more confident than I was in year one.
That's awesome. I remember chatting with you at State of Search in Dallas, Texas. I think like literally a month after you went out to do your own thing, and you were a little bit like deer in the headlights, like,
oh,
figuring it out, going to see if this works sort of thing. I've been rooting for you all along. I love it when people go out and do their own thing. That's super cool. So it sounds like the first 6 months were full of self-doubt. And I think anyone that's, you know, been an entrepreneur for longer than 6 months is probably nodding their head right now. I know I'm nodding my head right now, about that. So at what point was it, personally, number of clients, amount of revenue you're bringing in, whatever, that you knew that, okay, this is going to work and I can basically do this for, you know, as long as I want to until I'm, you know, not happy doing it. And if I'm happy doing it forever, then I'll just do it forever.
I don't know if it was necessarily a number of clients, but as I started taking on different types of projects and learn how to better price myself and determine what my worth and value was in terms of dollars, that I think it was just to where I was content with my income, that I was able to pay my bills and put stuff into savings, that's when I started feeling comfortable. And after several months of doing it and seeing what the average was, that I knew that I could keep going forward and become more efficient, learn more on the job, and be able to charge accordingly and get the work done. And I think just efficiency has been a really big indicator of my success, I think, this far. But That took obviously several months to figure out and kind of get trends going and seeing if I can do this long term. But seeing how things are now, I don't see why it can't keep going upwards and becoming more efficient and more profitable and possibly even hire people down the road to help me.
Totally. So what do you mean by when you say efficiency? You've said that word a couple of times now. What does that mean for your business to be efficient?
I think just doing a lot of different campaigns that are, while they're different clients and different industries, that there's overlap in terms of campaign styles. So for instance, like mobile app install campaigns, I've had a lot of clients that is their main focus. So I've learned certain hacks with like Facebook ads or other platforms to where I know what to expect from these platforms and how to market apps in particular or other things that the client is focusing on. So I think with more experience in different areas that I've become more efficient at my job and just learning little hacks and tricks and shortcuts here and there that save time but produce results.
Got it. That totally makes sense. Very, very smart as well. Are you finding yourself wanting to specialize a bit more in that and saying like, you know, you're a PPC specialist and, you know, you're an advertising specialist, an online advertising specialist, but are you trying to specialize a little bit more in terms of like doing a lot of, you know, install campaigns and primarily doing that or something like that for those reasons that you just said?
I think that those are like doing event marketing and mobile app installs. I think those are my top two and I really enjoy doing those. And while I will explore other opportunities, I'm not opposed to doing anything like e-commerce or lead gen. I enjoy those as well. But I think that where my interest lies and what I feel I can do best at this point is like mobile apps and driving people to use those apps to generate revenue for those brands or doing event registrations. That's been something that I was doing at my previous job, and I really enjoyed just getting people excited about certain events and driving people to attend those events if there's a benefit to them.
Cool. Totally, totally makes sense. So I want to go back real quick. You talked about at the beginning, you're figuring out pricing and that sort of thing. What are some of the hard lessons that you, or some of the lessons that you learned the hard way?
Oh man.
I'm sure we could go on all day about this. Oh, so pick your top ones.
One of the first, somebody reached out to me once to do some blogging, and while I loved writing things and getting them out there, I'm not the most talented long form writer. It takes me a lot of time, and then I'm much better at short form stuff. So I guess the advertising area is something that I've probably chosen wisely to do.
Yep.
But I quoted something that I thought was an industry standard for what a blog post would, and it took me days and hours. And at the end of it, that it wasn't really worth my time at that point, and it was frustrating to get it done. So I learned to not do that because it just totally wasn't worth my time and effort to spend that much time on a blog post. But then I kind of figured out, all right, let's not do that and focus on things that I'm more proficient at. So I remember another time when I was just getting started, somebody reached out and I quoted them what it would cost, and I didn't think it was very much because I was just getting started and I was like, you know what, like I'm fine making less until I get that experience of working for myself and I can continue expressing my worth. But I thought I gave a lowball offer and they said that I cost too much, and I took it personally thinking that, oh my goodness, maybe like am I worth X amount? And it made me think about some things. But as I learned and talked to people that have been doing this a lot longer, that they've shared similar stories, and like, you know what, when you get to a certain point and you determine what your worth is, if they're not okay paying that, then it's not worth your time and it's okay, and don't take it personally and figure out what it is. And there are people that will be able to pay for it, whether it's what they think about you personally and what they think that you're worth, or if their budget doesn't allow for it. So there's different scenarios that you have to take into account, but I've learned a lot to not take it personally, and it isn't easy discussing money with people, but I think that when you work for yourself, you really have to kind of become comfortable and have the confidence to back it up, even if you don't really feel confident. But portraying that, I guess, fake it till you make it, in a sense, really has paid off, I think.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I think that's a key thing for entrepreneurs to do, especially when you're getting started. You're like, I don't know how to do this, so I'm going to ask people that do, and then figure out how to do it, you know, my way.
Yeah.
Have there been any times that you've quoted a potential client and they just like said yes on the spot and you're like, crap, I should have asked for more.
Yeah, there's been that. But I think,
how do you think through that?
Well, obviously then I can't go back on it. So I, if it's a client that I really want to work with, it's totally fine. I will be flexible with that and I'll accept it. But given like if we end up working together long term and it goes, I don't know, past 6 months or into the new year, then I'll say maybe that, oh, okay, like given that your budget has been growing and we're seeing positive ROI that I'm raising my rates. And usually that's worked out very well. I haven't had anybody say no to that yet, but there is that possibility.
Totally. Totally. And it probably will. And as you said, you know, you don't take it personally and you keep on moving and have your pipeline and keep on growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So let's a little bit into the nuts and bolts of, you know, the actual like business side. So I think your journey is a little bit different from some other people. At what point did you actually, you know, form a business, and say like, all right, you know, I'm in this, I'm not just, you know, freelancing, you know, 1099, but like, this is a real thing.
In terms of incorporating or?
Yeah, incorporating.
So my goal was to do it by what I launched my new site 2 weeks ago and I was planning to do it by then, but there's been some other life stuff going on to where I haven't been able to do it yet. So I have the new website, I have everything set, but I just haven't done the actual formal paperwork. But that is the plan by the end of this year.
Oh, gotcha. So you've been going it alone for 2 years, and you don't have like a formal LLC or Inc. or anything like that at this point.
No, not yet. I know everybody's been telling me I need to do that.
Interesting.
So that is the plan by the end of this year. So.
So if with that being the case, why didn't you go ahead and do it just at first?
I think I was trying to figure out everything else first, and I didn't see the problem of just, I don't know, freelancing. But now working with larger budgets and bigger clients and having conversations with other people that have been doing this for a much longer, and they've shared stories to where they might have had a client situation go wrong, and then there were some legal things that kind of panned out and they ended up being responsible things that the client didn't pay for. And it's better to just have that on the business instead of yourself personally, because you should probably take care of that and not have somebody repo your house if things go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually one of the big reasons why I went ahead and formed my LLC. I formed it 2.5 months after I went out on my own a little bit over a year ago. Just because of the, you know, just that legal protection, like you never know. And yeah, like you said, like you don't want someone being able to come after you personally, especially if you have, you know, employees, right?
Right.
I guess if you have employees and you have to do payroll and, you know, all that legal stuff comes in there. But yeah, that makes sense. And so we've talked about this a little bit, but I'd love to hear like your, you know, kind of direct perspective on it. But, you know, over the last 2 years and you've been learning to operate a business and, you know, so like, okay, this can work. Like what's been the biggest catalyst for growth for you? Like, how are you going about, you know, getting clients, or, you know, are you actually pumping the brakes on growth? Like, I'd love to hear how that's all going for you.
So I feel like maybe my story is unconventional for most freelancers, but I feel very fortunate that I was able to work at a marketing conference company, and I've met some really wonderful people, and I worked with an awesome team there. And I think that really helped kind of throw me into the industry and just be a part of it. And when
the
industry, I left,
meaning the digital marketing industry?
Correct.
Okay.
So when I went on my own, one of the things I was also worried about, that I'd be by myself working from home, even though I was working remotely for a number of years, that I thought that I wouldn't be as immersed in it per se. And I thought that people would maybe forget about me. But when I went on my own, I was pleasantly surprised that people were reaching out to me, and just word of mouth, that when I announced that I'm going out on my own, that people would just send me leads and I would have a conversation with them, and some would work out, some wouldn't. But I feel very grateful that I've never had to do any outreach and seek out my own clients at this point. So that is an area that I was worried about. Like, what if I have a slow month? Like, what would I do? How would I find these people? But it's been really great through like word of mouth or other agencies that I've partnered up with to get any overflow work. And it's been some of them I've had a long-term relationship with since I went on my own. So that's been a huge catalyst. And then I ended up hiring somebody part-time this summer just to test out, seeing like, what's it like to have somebody helping out with reporting or some other task that I could possibly help mentor and teach them how to become more proficient with marketing as well. So that I did that for a few months, and that it ended up not working out long term, but it was nice to dabble in that and see what the potential is to possibly grow further if I decide to hire anybody else in the future and kind of help with my business and growing it further.
So it sounds like, even though it didn't work out with that person this summer, it sounds like that hasn't necessarily scared you off to hiring people in the future.
Right. It was a good experience, even though it didn't work out, but we'll see how it pans out in the future. I kind of know what to look for now.
Totally. Yeah, that makes sense. Hiring is hard. As having hired a lot of people over the years, hiring is tough. And sometimes you make good decisions and sometimes you make bad decisions. And
yeah,
that's how it goes. So it sounds like really the biggest like catalyst for growth for you has been, I mean, there are no tricks, right? There are no hacks to like, oh yeah, you tweak this little thing and all of a sudden you have like too much work or that sort of thing. But for you, it's all been all about relationships.
Absolutely. Earlier this year, I got a little burned out. I took on too much, and finding that balance was a little challenging. But as I kind of rethought my business and then the whole rebranding happened earlier this month, that I've kind of wanted to take back the reins and close a few doors so other ones would open up. And I feel like that's happened. So I'm excited to see what happens going forward.
So when you say that you got a little bit burned out, did you take on too many clients and you just were working too much, or you just weren't inspired by the work you were doing, or what was that?
All of the above, unfortunately. It started off with just taking on too much work and thinking I could handle more. And then some of the projects that I took on, I shouldn't have, that they were fine, but they didn't excite me very much. And I feel like the combination of having too much work, which, you know, is a good problem, but work that isn't very exciting or that I was passionate about. I usually try to work with clients or services and products that I genuinely am excited about, that I don't like to BS and try to sell somebody something on the internet or have them sign up for something if I wouldn't do that myself. So I ended up taking on some work that unfortunately didn't follow that little standard I have for myself. But so I've decided to cut some ties and phase out on a few things and kind of just reevaluate what I want to work on and what I want to spend my time on and be excited about my work, because that is, after all, why I went to work for myself, because I wanted to grow more professionally and personally and understand more aspects of a business and to actually spend time working on things that I see a lot of potential in. That so that's kind of the gist of it.
Cool. No, that totally makes sense. I think you just hit on something there about it almost sounds like you felt like you're working for the man a little bit, and you're like, wait, why am I doing this? I'm not happy. Like, you know, I wasn't happy at my last job. And so, or, you know, or just had kind of grown out of it or whatever. And, you know, and then that's when you said it's time to go do your own thing. And then, you know, I think when you reach that point as an entrepreneur, when you reach that point with your own business, then it's very smart to take a step back and say, wait a minute, like, why do I feel this way? What's going on that's making me feel this way? And how do I change it so that, you know, I am happy being, you know, being solo or, you know, working for myself and, you know, don't feel like it's a grind anymore.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Cool. And so you've been on your own for, as you said, 2 years this week, which is incredible. And where does the time go?
Right.
But looking back over the last 24 months of working for yourself, what are some of the lessons, some of the biggest lessons that you've learned? We've talked about a few of them, but what would you say are the biggest things that you've learned and that you would have done differently now in hindsight?
The biggest thing that always comes to mind is that I wish that I worked at an agency before starting my agency of one, I guess. I've always worked in-house for companies, and I've had interviews and I've had conversations with people that work at agencies, but I always, for some reason, I don't know if it's part of my upbringing that I was the only child and I had a weird name and I was kind of just siloed myself, that when I worked in-house, I was like, I was the person to specialize in this one thing and there wasn't more of me in the building. So I kind of maybe prided myself to a fault on that. And I always felt that if I went to an agency that I just might be kind of a number there, and I didn't want to be just a number. But I think I looked at it wrong and working with agencies and thinking that, oh, there's all these clients that you work with. How do you handle that? That's too much. Like, how do you dedicate all this focus to building campaigns and a business? And it was just, I was naive at the time and didn't know. And that was my perception of what an agency was. And I feel like I was mistaken now that I've had more time in the industry and I've spoken to people that have both worked in-house ad and agencies, big and small. And that is one of my regrets, that I didn't actually just try it out, which usually I'm a person that I'm like, I will test anything once. Like, that's in me, as a, especially as a PPC person, like, just test it out, give it a try. If it doesn't work, whatever, go do something else or try another approach. But I didn't know how to manage client expectations in a sense, because I was working with multiple clients at once and trying to figure out how to juggle everything and give everyone the correct amount of time needed to grow and to just succeed on their campaigns. And I think that was a struggle. And now I understand why agencies operate the way that they do and why they rotate teams and why you get to dabble in a lot of campaigns, because you do get a lot more experience. And I wish that I did that earlier, because I really had to just jump right in and figure this out, and basically was treading water for a bit, but I'm finally learning how to swim. And so I guess that was, to answer your question, yeah, I wish I worked at an agency before and didn't kind of cloud my mind with misconceptions about what it would be to work at an agency.
Totally. That makes sense. Yeah. So I guess you had never really had to kind of balance clients and billable hours and expectations and, you know, different budgets and different industries before going out on your own.
Yeah. I had to learn quick, but I'm glad that I'm as organized as I am in terms of, I'm a huge list maker, and nice. I use Trello like it's nobody's business in terms of
keeping track of everything. My wife just took a job with Trello. I'm so stoked about it.
That's awesome. Congrats to her. What a great, I love that company. So that's awesome that you know somebody that works there now and could keep making it even better. But yeah, I don't know what I would do without tools like that or just organizational stuff, because I don't know what agencies use per se, but oh man, it is such a good way to keep track of things.
Yep, totally. That's awesome. So you've been on your own for 2 years. At this point, what would it take to get you to go work for someone else again?
Oh, good question. I don't know if I could go back, now that I enjoy the lifestyle that working for yourself provides, and that freedom that if I want to go run an errand, that go to the bank or go grocery shopping, I can do that in the middle of the day. I can start work at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., which I do on most days. Just I enjoy getting work done before people log on to email at companies, or in the evenings. I like that freedom. So that would be tough. I don't know if I'd go back, honestly. If like all else failed and I don't know, the planets totally misaligned and something happened and I needed to go back into the workforce, I would. But to get me away from this right now, I feel like things are just ramping up, and I honestly don't think I could go back unless somebody could provide me a really nice salary and told me that I had the freedoms to do the things that I want still, as I'm doing right now. But I'd have to work remote, that's for sure.
Okay. Yep. Totally. So it sounds like it's the kind of thing that you'd probably go back, you'd, you know, suck it up for a little bit, do what you had to do to, you know, pay the bills or whatever, mm-hmm. but then also look towards, okay, when can I go back and do my own thing again?
Yeah, that freedom is pretty, it's a very sweet thing to have in life, I think, that if you can make it work, that it's a lifestyle. You get to live the life that you want and still make a living and support what you want to do with your free time. So I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I hear that 100%. And being able to build the business that you want to run, as opposed to the business that someone else tells you that you should run, is an absolutely incredible feeling.
And just to follow up on that while we could lose our clients or things could go wrong, the internet could go down like it maybe did on Friday with the whole DDoS thing. But it's nice being in this position where, like, yeah, sure, my clients can fire me, but I'm not dependent on a business that's not my own. They can pull the plug on me at any moment. I've had some friends that got laid off, and it's a difficult pill to swallow. And I don't want somebody in charge of that portion of my life and telling me when I'm here and when I'm not.
Definitely. Was that ever, I mean, it sounds like you haven't been laid off. I have. And a number of other people that I've interviewed on this podcast as well have been laid off. But was that at all a consideration for you when you're going to do your own thing about just kind of taking a bit more of that control over your, you know, your future and, you know, your income and all that sort of thing, not having to ask for raises? Like, you get a raise as you sign more clients, you're able to do work better now, right?
Absolutely. I came close to getting laid off once, and I had this immense guilt that I wasn't laid off. One of the first few companies that I was working at doing marketing for, it was when the recession hit, and like 80% of the staff got laid off. And wow. I ended up staying on, and I was one of the newer people that was at the company at the time. And I made a lot of good friends. We were a close-knit family there. It was a smaller business at the time. And it was really tough, and I felt guilt. And I was like, well, that could have been me, and what if it was? And I always try to put my trust in and just try to imagine what they feel like. And I don't want to be in that position. And granted, like I said, clients can fire me at any time, but I feel like I'd be able to bounce back up and maybe find other clients. Or I feel like our industry is also very helpful in that we don't let each other fail.
Totally.
So there's that too.
Yep, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, I guess let's turn this into a question. Do you still feel like you might wake up, like, you know, tomorrow morning on Monday and have emails from all of your clients that they're ending their engagements? Or did you ever feel that way? I feel that way.
I did earlier on, but I feel like as of the last 6 months, not so much. And if it happens, I feel like, hey, I could always go back to the Craigslist thing, right?
Totally. That's fantastic. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. It's been fantastic learning a little bit more about you and your business and kind of your journey over the last couple of years as an entrepreneur. So, you know, keep on going. And for the people listening, tell them where they can find you online.
Thank you. Thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Akvile, AKVILE Harlow, HARLOW. Or if it's just easier, go to my website and you can contact me there at akvertise.com.